process introduces also product variation. So even manufacturing, there will be slight difference is what they say in spite of automating everything. Variation in product is proportional to the variation in process. So outcome of the product variation, it's all depend on the process variation, and therefore if the process variation is high, the product meeting the standards laid down, the variation can take place. That is what it means. And if the sources of variations, the sources of variations can be identified, it can be quantified, and then you put controls around it to ensure that these variations are reduced as much as possible. So what is the objective of Six Sigma quality standard? It is to reduce the process output variation. So by reducing the process variation, obviously you manage the process output variation. And the philosophy of Six Sigma is CTQ, critical to quality, or know what's important to customer. Obviously reduce defects, center around target, so target is what the mean is, and reduce variation, or in statistic terms, standard deviation. Again, little more stats coming into play. So what is variation? So variation means that a process X does not produce the same result every time. So it should always result Y, but the with X process you should achieve Y, but every time you don't achieve it, so by not achieving it you are going into variation. And the variation directly affects customer experience. Obviously the quality, if it varies very high and down, then it impacts the customers directly and their expectation. You can use measurement for it, and company should measure what is relevant, either from a quality perspective, from customer satisfaction and productivity. It's no point measuring everything that you do in the process. If you implement Six Sigma process methodology, then the benefits you can expect is sustained success, because if your process becomes very fine-tuned, or if I can relate back to CMMI level capability maturity at level 5, which you are always optimizing, so obviously you will have sustained success. It also sets performance goals for everyone. You know what you are getting measured for, how you are getting measured, and you can achieve performance goals. It enhances values of customers, because when customers buys those products and services, they know the experience they get will not be very different from the experience they have already faced, or they have been recommended by their friends, relatives or advisors. It also accelerates rate of improvement. If you are at a very low level and you have wide variances, then implementing a Six Sigma project or using a Six Sigma methodology, at first the rate of improvement goes very high, because you are starting to measure, you are able to find out the variance reasons, you fix that quickly, and the outcome starts becoming stable. It promotes learning across boundaries and executes strategic changes. So if your focus is that I need to change the process, or I want to reduce the turnaround time to respond to customer from 6 hours to 3 hours, you start measuring why it is taking 6 hours, and then you find out the reasons for 6 hours, and then you start. It is common sense to a large extent, but it uses statistics to help you add to that common sense for a better delivery. Sigma capability, so when you are told you are 1 sigma, 2 sigma, it's a capability. It measures the capability of the process to produce defect-free output. So if you are 1 sigma, that means that 68.4% chance you will give defect-free outputs, but balance you will still make errors can take place. Higher the sigma capability, the better it is, we know that. And 6 sigma, so there is a further breakup in 6 sigma called the DMAC methodology and DMADV methodology, which we'll look into detail. DMAC is used for improving existing process, while DMADV is used for new product or new process designs. That's the only difference in these two methodologies. Graphically, DMAC stands for define, measure, analyze, improve and control. So first you define it, then you start measuring it, you analyze the deviation, the variation, you improve the process by putting more solutions, and then you put better results around it, control it better. Once you control it better, you will get final project results or the lessons learned. You close the project and move into the next project. So it's a very project methodology that takes place. So as I said, define, So the voice of customer. So what you need to define, what are you trying to achieve, comes in the definition stage. Then to achieve that, what is the process, you list down, and then you create a project at the defined stage, and then you put data that you will use to measure, are you moving in the direction that you want to go. Once the data starts coming out, you look at it statistically, put it in statistical models, and you document the issues, where it is happening, why it is happening. Then you look at root cause analysis and improving it. So that's the improve. Then you put control over it and say, with the control, are you still able to reach the goal in the time, in the data that you want, or the output that you expected. Once you have done that, you release this project into production, into real life, and then put the data around it. Measurements take place on a regular basis, and the project team moves into the different project. The DMADV methodology is obviously used for new processes and new products. So the definition is same. You define what you want to do, you measure it, you analyze it. Now there it is improve. Here it is, you look at the design again so that you optimize it, and then you verify by doing a pilot runs or some small process, and then hand over to the process owners. In Six Sigma, there are various level of professionals. It has a formal education system and checking system. Each has a different role to play in the project team. So the topmost level in Six Sigma is Master Black Belt. So Master Black Belt is person who's been trained to develop key metrics and the strategic direction. So which project to take, what is the key metrics around it, and he is an internal consultant to the organization. The black belt resource, someone who's been trained to be a black belt, he works full time in the projects and lead problem solving projects, and they train and coach project teams. The green belt resources are resources which help in data collection, which this data is used by black belt project leaders to analyze, and they do majority of the groundwork during the project implementation stage. The yellow belt, they participate as team members, they review the process improvements to support the projects, and white belt, they work on local problem solving teams, so they are more implementable. They may or may not be part of the Six Sigma project team. Then there are two key roles in Six Sigma which are very important. One is the champion, and second is the executive. So the champions are one which translates the company vision, mission to make into projects, and then they identify the resource and any roadblocks that come, so they champion for the project team. Executives are those people who actually give in the money to get it implemented, and they become the establish the strategic focus of Six Sigma program. Internationally and in India, Six Sigma successful case study is GE. I mean, it's a mother lodestone, if I may call it, for Six Sigma success. They have implemented it beautifully across all their units. United Technologies Automotive has done it, and in India, a leading IT company has used this to reduce the recruitment cycle. They don't wish to be named, so that's why it's kept like this. And obviously, the Dabbawalas of Mumbai are a good case study for successful Six Sigma implementation. Because if they were not Six Sigma, imagine every day you are expecting lunch to come and it may not come, or it may come at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the evening. So they have to be very close to Six Sigma. That means being accurate 99.99966% of the times that they get an opportunity to give you Dabba. Some variants of Six Sigma. So Six Sigma overall is a complex project team methodology. So then the various academia and other people came along, and they reworked it, retwisted it to some to meet their expectation, and then a different methodology also came into being. So one of them is called Lean, which is it's a lean manufacturing. It was developed by Toyota, and it is focused only on the flow and eliminating wastages. So eliminating wastages only in the process, not to improve the process necessarily, and if the process improves, it's good, but otherwise eliminating wastage with so much focus. It was called lean because it was very limited in its approach. And then they mixed the Six Sigma methodology along with lean, and they called it Lean Six Sigma. And again, GE, Verizon, IBM looked into it. So in addition to improving the process, you also eliminate waste. And that's how Lean Six Sigma came into play. Third generation Six Sigma, it aims to show the companies how to deliver products or services that have real value in the eyes of customers. The companies which practices are Costco, Samsung, etc. Of course, and Six Sigma is not liked by everyone necessarily. It also has its drawbacks, and it is criticized for lack of originality because it doesn't let, it only works on existing process, new process to achieve goals which are already there, or there is some baseline, but the thought, original thought is not there. Role of consultants are very important because how you implement it, how you measure it, and how you work on it is there, and therefore the role of consultants become important, which sometimes is the criticism of Six Sigma, that without consultants can we implement Six Sigma, because it's so much statistically oriented that we need consultants for those statistics. We are saying people dependency to be removed in this case, because Six Sigma does everything statistically. There is a criticism that there is an over reliance on statistical tools. It stifles creativity in research environments because you're focused on mean, improving the mean and reducing the variation. And lack of systematic documentation with new tools, although this has gone away, but still there's so much documentation that requires in a Six Sigma project, that whether it is followed everywhere in the same way or not, that is the question that is criticized for. With that, we come to, we've also looked at Six Sigma. Now, the next thing we look at is PCMM or SEI, People Capability Maturity Model. So, we have looked at maturity model. Let's look at People Capability Maturity Model. And if we already had CMMI, then what was the need of PCMM is something that we'll look into this module. So, with the advent of technology, Internet became important. It went across. Creation of God is what it is called as. Outsourcing took place. Globalization of operations took place. And many knowledge-driven businesses took happened. And that brought two challenges for company. One, the business and the products and services which they offered. They lost good people, key people. Then how do they continue with that products and services? And secondly, the talent that was required to build and sustain the business, are we doing anything for that? So people slowly moved away from processes and started becoming as important as the process with the advent of technology. Although when technology came into being, it was thought that people will no longer be important, everything technology will take care. But with more and more technology embracement by people, it is also realized by business that people play an important role in the entire delivery, and therefore they need to be managed as well. So many organizations also realize that their success actually depends on the talent they process. So the ability to attract talent, develop talent, motivate the people in the company, organize and retain talented people became one of the key indicators of success and key indicators of performance for HR department and the team leaders or the leaders in the organization. People started realizing that especially in software development, knowledge is one of the big drivers. So whether you measure the project metrics, project closure report, customer feedback, anything, people skills, timesheet, the knowledge is there. And the kind of talent that you put in software project is an often the strongest predictor of its results and resource of its result. And if you don't put the right set of people in the project, then you know there's a big project risk that comes into it. And obviously for software companies, managing bench and lateral induction is quite a challenge. Now also what has happened is customers also have realized this and have become very demanding in retention of knowledge and expertise in their domain and continuity of experienced employees, because people also, companies also realize the cost of not having knowledgeable person or losing an expertise of a person. The cost is not measured in terms of money itself, but also the goodwill, the customer, the product impact and things like that. They also expected deployment of skilled and ready resources for their engagements in short time frame. So they were not willing to wait for you to look at the market and pick up the people or train the people. They wanted quick deployment of their people. And they are expecting that organization must have a robust training, learning and human asset management environment to respond to these changes. Because of all this, SEI came up with one more model, maturity model, called the People Capability Maturity Model or PCMM. So PCMM is a tool that addresses critical people issues in an organization. So it looks people as primary driver. It employs the process maturity framework of the Software Capability Maturity Model as a foundation. So it used the CMMI as a foundation to of the process maturity to build up people maturity on top of it. And that's how PCM came into play. But it focuses on human assets of any organization. So what does PCMM does? It describes an improvement path from an ad hoc, inconsistently performed practice to mature discipline, improving development of knowledge, skills, motivate the workforce. And it looks again like CMM into three areas, people, process and technology. And PCMM, unlike CMMI which focuses on processes, started focusing on the people. It's characteristic by an holistic approach to people related issues, and the primary objective of PCMM was to improve the capability of the workforce. Combination of CMMI and PCM formed a powerful partnership for any organization to align the process and the people part of the process to achieve the business goals. And PCMM, they say, improves the capability of workforce, which in turn improves the ability to improve the processes and therefore impacts the profitability of the organization directly. It also, CMM models we know, improves the capability of the process and combined result leads to better performance. Now, what does this workforce capability mean? It includes level of knowledge, skill, process ability available for performing business activity. It indicates an organization readiness, the result of performance and potential from benefiting for investment in process improvement or advanced technology. The philosophy of PCM is summarized in 10 principles. One, they say in mature organization, workflow's capability is directly related to business performance. So if the workforce capability is high, the business performance will be high in a mature organization. The workforce capability is a competitive advantage issue and it is part of strategic advantage you have. So if you have better trained, capable workforce, your ability to respond to challenges, to new market needs, to improve the existing process goes up dramatically. Workforce capability must be defined and it cannot be defined in isolation but in relation to the business objectives. So if you are a software company, in improving the software processes, no point training people in how to build robots, for example. That's not as expected. So it should be in relation to business objectives that you have. Knowledge intense work shifts from focus from job elements to workforce competencies. And capability can be measured and improved is one of the principles of PCMM. An organization should invest in people so that their competencies improve. Operational management is responsible for capability of workforce. So there is no special cell or something only which is responsible to improve the capability. But the operational management of the entire organization are equally responsible to improve the capability of the workforce. It has to be the improvement of the workforce capability as a process compared from proven practices and composed from proven practices and procedures. So you pick up the proven practices and procedures and use it like a process to improve the workforce capability. So they clearly say the organization is responsible for providing improvement opportunities and the individuals of course are responsible for taking advantage of it. And since technologies and organization forms evolve rapidly, the workforce practice and develop new workforce competency should also evolve and change or continuously evolve as we go along. This is the structure. So you have an organization capability as a result of maturity levels, and the maturity levels have various process areas. If you go back to your CMMI, in process area you describe the objectives, you list down the process area goals, you put up practices either in implementation or institutionalization of this, and keep improving your organization capability. So what is process area? We have discussed this. So it's a group of all practices, when collectively done, it helps you to achieve a maturity level or reach a goal. And each process area can contain 3 or 5 objectives stating why it is required to be designed and what it will accomplish. A goal is what the organization wants to achieve, and the requirement in implementation, the workforce practices in the process area. Practice is a sub process within a process area that contributes to achieving the process area goals. So combination of various practices, if you do, you achieve the process area goals. The implementation of practices are grouped into practices performed category, and the you bring it up to an organization level, all these practices, then that is the basis by which an organization can say that they have institutionalized the implementation practice. The PCMM is organized into 4 category. One is commitment to perform. So it defines what are the actions the organization must take to ensure that the activities constituting a process area are established and will endure. Ability to perform, the preconditions that must exist in a unit organization to implement the practices completely. What are the measurement and analysis, and how do you verify the implementation? Like CMMI, PCMM also consists of 5 maturity levels, and these establish successful foundations for continuously improving. Individual competency, how to develop an effective team, how to motivate so that the process keeps improving, and how to shape the workforce which an organization needs to accomplish the business plans. The process maturity framework allows an organization to achieve a state of continuous process improvement in 5 stages, and at each maturity level is very well defined. So you have level 1, which is inconsistent management. You move it to level 2, where you start looking at work unit management, where you standardize it, you make each practice repeatable, then you standardize it at a business line management, predict it at a capability management, and innovate, which is at the change management level. Some more detailed, so at initial level, the workflow practices applied without analysis of impact, so you just implement a workforce practice. Then at managed level, the managers take responsibilities. At defined level, you define the workforce competence, the work groups, and align them to business strategies. You start predicting how it will work. So you could have a empowered work group, competitive based, competency based assets and things like that. You could mentoring concept comes here when you start predicting. So you take someone and mentor the someone so that you are able to predict how the person will perform, and then you continuously keep improving it. That's at the optimization level. Again, little detailed out. So obviously at level 1, the initial level, there's nothing. So when there is nothing, they will always have difficulty in retaining talented individuals, because they'll start looking out areas to express themselves, and they'll move into companies which give them that opportunity. The managed level, the key process areas are staffing, communication, how do you take people, communicate and coordinate, work environment, performance. Local level work practices are implemented at this level, and commitment may still be lacking. At a defined level, it looks at competency analysis, workforce planning, so you plan it out, competency development, career development, competency based practices, participatory culture. At predictable level, you have competency integration, empowered work groups, competency based assets, quantitative performance management, organization capability management, mentoring, as we discussed. And at level 5, you keep continuously improving upon it, where the organization is focused on coaching and continuous improvement. And here the improvement to capability of individuals and work groups, performance of the competency based processes, and to workforce practices and activities. Now, if any organization embarks towards PCMM journey, the benefit that they can expect is that the committed work gets done in a timely manner. It develops an interpersonal and communication skills, therefore improving the working relationships. And once the working relationships are good, the work culture improves, the whole organization culture improves, and things get done. It enables informed decision making based on information sharing. So there is harmony, trust, confidence, and therefore the decision becomes more important as all the informations are shared. It clearly establishes organization values to help workforce align with their own. It helps to build respect for workflow's opinion, because there is a feedback mechanism there, suggestion mechanism as well in PCMM. It builds a foundation for participatory culture and empowered work groups, so people are empowered to take decision. Because people have information, they are empowered to take decision. They take decision in timely manner. There is air of confidence and trust in the culture. It definitely helps in improving the productivity. And most importantly, it demonstrates professionalism and respect for diverse cultures of people belonging to diverse cultures. In India, we have examples of Wipro and TCS, the IT companies that have achieved PCMM level 5 certification. With that, we come to end of chapter 4, part A and part B. And as always, we have some self-assessment for you, where we'll cover the entire part A and part B. So you have ISO IEC 27001-2005, ISO 2000-2011, ITIL, COBIT, QMS, Six Sigma, SEI, and the potential benefit, why do we do it, National Cyber Security Policy in India, ITSM, the reasons for COBIT, drawbacks in PCI DSS standards, why is ISO 9001 popular in India or in industries generally, what does CMMI focuses on, PCMMI focuses on, and things like that. The basic premise of Six Sigma, focus area of PCMM as I said, and different maturity levels or structure of PCMM. So with that, we come to the end of chapter 4. As always, thank you and all the best.